6, and I'm going to be reading from verse 9. So Matthew chapter 6, if you'd like a Bible, just wave a hand and we'll get one to you. Otherwise, I'll give you a moment to turn, to scroll towards Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, page 970 in the church Bibles. The words of Jesus. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let's pray again as we come to God's word. Father, how we praise you for these words of Jesus. Thank you that week by week they have been helping us to understand how to pray, but more than that, to understand who you are, how we ought to live in this world, as well as how we ought to pray. And we ask that, please, this morning, you would go on shaping us, go on helping us to understand who you are in the power of your Spirit, that we might love you, that we might live wisely in your world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, somebody finds a lamp, gives it a rub. Out pops a genie and says, you can have 3 wishes. Why only 3, I wonder? I guess one of the reasons is to try and make you decide what your priorities are. You've got to think of only 3 things that you could have. Just 3 wishes. And one of them can't be for more wishes. I wonder if you've ever wondered what you would ask for if you could choose just 3 things for yourself. Well, we're at that point in the Lord's Prayer where Jesus is now helping us to think how we might pray for ourselves. And what we're actually going to see is that he gives us 3 things. Not 3 wishes that he's going to grant us, but 3 prayers that he will hear and we will answer. He's done that amazing work for us of whittling down what 3 things we might ask of him. We're going to see that over the next 3 weeks, learning to pray that he provides what we need, that he forgives us our sins, and that he protects us in trial and from evil. And each week we're going to see the wisdom of that and the goodness of those things, how good it is that we pray those 3 things for ourselves and don't want other things for ourselves. We're going to begin today by thinking about the first of those, give us today our daily bread. And before we get into that, though, I just want to say something quickly about the shape of the Lord's Prayer. Something that I think we've noticed as we've gone along, but the way that it turns from focusing on God to then focusing on us and our needs. 3 things that we are to pray concerning God: that his name would be hallowed, that his kingdom would come, and that his will would be done. 3 requests focused on God before 3 requests then for us. What should we learn from the shape of that? Well, first, we must notice that it puts God first. We seek first his kingdom, his name, his glory. We learn that he is at the center of our lives, and so we don't come to him praying that our name be hallowed and our kingdom come and our will be done. We're finding our place rightly. But there's not some great turn at this point where we're done thinking about God and his priorities, and now we're kind of back to us. The Lord's Prayer is not some kind of trade where we scratch his back for 3 requests and then he's going to scratch ours, because we've asked what he wanted, and now we can get what we want. We're going to see instead that asking these 3 things is going to help us keep God at the center of our lives. It's going to help us pursue his kingdom and his righteousness as we learn how to pray for ourselves, as we learn how to pray for one another. So we'll see something of that this morning as well. To think about this line in the Lord's Prayer, we're just going to focus on a few different words that come up in it. Give us today our daily bread. Let's begin just by thinking about that word bread for a moment. Give us today our daily bread. Not the kind of thing that you would ask the genie for. I don't know what would come to your mind. Probably something much more grand than that. Not bread, but maybe banquets forever. But this is just our daily bread. Not our daily steak. Not our daily lobster thermidor. I don't actually know what that is, but I know that it's grand and it's expensive and I'll never be able to afford one. Bread here stands for the basics for our needs. That's what we're learning to pray, a prayer for what we need. Bread in the ancient Near Eastern world is simply the staple. In other parts of the world, it would be give us today our daily rice. In another part of the world, give us today our daily potatoes. That's just the staple, the stuff that keeps things going. We're learning here to ask for what is necessary for what we need. It's a thought that I think flows out of Proverbs chapter 30, come up on the screen. There in Proverbs, we learn the wisdom of saying to God, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. Give me only my daily bread, neither riches nor poverty. And Paul, much later in the New Testament, says something similar in 1 Timothy chapter 6. There he says that godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of it, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Food and clothing, the basics. And bread really speaks to that, asking God, not for poverty, not for riches, but for the basics, for what we need. It's a prayer that then starts to open up as you think, well, what might that involve? Like that kind of zip file that Ben was thinking about the other week. You kind of double click on it and it might expand in our minds to understand what we're really asking for. Martin Luther helps us a little with this, again, on the screen. To pray for daily bread, it is a brief and simple word, but it has a very wide scope. For when you mention and pray for daily bread, you pray for everything that is necessary in order to have and enjoy daily bread, and on the other hand, against everything which interferes with it. He goes on to say then, you mustn't just think about the oven or the bread bin or maybe the supermarket shelf. The story of bread doesn't just begin there. Martin Luther says we must focus our minds on the distant field and the entire land which brings and bears to us daily bread. Think of that for a moment. Let's do what Martin says. Open wide, extend our thoughts. What is necessary for bread? What could interfere with bread coming to us? Well, as we ask the Lord for daily bread, we're praying for the shops and for those who work in them, for those who stack the shelves and work the tills, for transportation, for growers and pickers and packages. We're praying for farmers, we're praying for good weather, we're praying for sun but not too much sun, for rain and not too much rain. We're praying for a just society where bread is available for all. So we've been reminded in recent years, we're praying for peace so that grain can be grown and harvested and distributed around the world. So we imagine in our mind's eye, what is it that we are asking God to do? It is all those things and more. To provide us with our basics is a big ask. All of the things that are needed and all of the things that could go wrong, we are asking the Lord to bring us the things we need, to enable those things to come to us. So this is a prayer for what we need. There's a challenge, I think, an encouragement that flows from that. The challenge is to tell the difference between what we need and what we want. Again, Proverbs, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Give me the things that I need and not more than I need. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. There is so much wisdom for us here in what Jesus teaches us to ask for ourselves. Many of those stories of people being granted their three wishes are really cautionary tales. Warnings against wanting too much. And there's an early version that goes back to the 17th century. There's a husband and wife, and a fairy appears to them and offers them three wishes. The wife says, sausages. And so sausages are granted to them. The husband is cheesed off. "What were you thinking?" he says. "How could you say sausages? We could have asked for all the money in the world. I wish you had a sausage for a nose." She gets a sausage for a nose. What are they going to do with their third wish? They put it back to the way that her nose should be, and they end up with nothing but sausages. It is wisdom not to seek more than we need. Many of those stories just expose the folly of getting more than you need, of seeking after it. And oftentimes you end up back where you started. I think that's another reason why sometimes in those stories there are three wishes. It's long enough to tell the story and get back to where you started. There is a challenge here that in our praying we are sensible and wise and taught by Jesus to ask not for riches, not for great wealth, not for more than we need, but for our daily bread. There is a challenge there. There is an encouragement too, though, because here, after praying for the Lord's honor and kingdom and will, we are invited to bring our very simple and very basic needs before God. He knows what we are like. He knows that we can't go long without food and water and shelter and clothing, and so he invites us to pray for those things. Along Christian history, many times people have interpreted this phrase to think about spiritual things, spiritual bread and food, because sometimes maybe the thought is, it can't really just mean the basics. It can't really just mean the things that you need. But mostly here, I think it does. I think it really is encouraging us to look to the Lord for the basics, for what we need day by day, because our God cares about those things, knows that we need those things, and doesn't want us, as we're going to see, to be anxious about those things. So an encouragement to know that we are invited to bring those needs before him. God is not embarrassed or disappointed or ashamed of us for needing those things. We can come and ask for them. So bread speaks of asking for the things that we need. Next, think about those words today and daily. This is a prayer for what we need today. Again, that's not what we would wish for, would we? If we had that genie in France, we would say a lifetime supply of whatever, more than I could ever use of something. But what God is encouraging us to do here is to look to him each day for the things that we need. Why is he doing that? Well, I think there's a bit of help just a little later on in Matthew chapter 6. Just look on down with me to verse 25. I'm going to read from verse 25. "Therefore I tell you," Jesus says, "do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow and is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." What is Jesus saying in those words? Well, he wants us to hear that promise that we have a Father in heaven who knows what we need. Again, the emphasis here is on what we need, isn't it? Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will wear. Food, clothing, the basics. Jesus is teaching us that we can trust our Heavenly Father for those things, and so we needn't be anxious about them. We needn't chase after them in the way that the pagans do, in the way that the rest of the world does. You see, there's a lie that we often fall for, that we think we will feel less anxious if we can accumulate more things, If we just had more, then we would feel less anxious. But that's not really how it works. The more you have, the more tomorrow can take from you. Imagine you have a fridge full of food at home. It might be tempting to think you don't need this prayer, you don't need to pray for daily bread. But then the thought dawns on you that with that fridge full of food, it just takes one power cut, takes one thief, takes one heart attack, and it is no good to you whatsoever. No amount of storing those things up guarantees what tomorrow will bring. All of those things just become things that you stand to lose because you don't know what tomorrow holds. It goes the same with savings and pensions and houses and anything else. We don't put our hopes there. Instead, we look to God each day to provide the things that we need, knowing that He will provide, He will protect us, He will keep our eyes on Him. And so we pray each day, remembering that dependence on Him and looking to Him. Because even that fridge full of food, if it's still there when you get home, it's still going to take God to make that nourishing and good for you. Every day, we depend on Him. Something that God was teaching His people back in the Old Testament too. Think of Exodus chapter 16. God's people redeemed, rescued, brought out of Egypt. And they're in the desert and they're grumbling and they're worrying about what are they going to eat. And God amazingly provides manna there in the desert. The kind of wafer bread that tasted like honey and kept them going through that wilderness. But what did God do? He didn't just drop them a month's supply there in the desert. No, each day He provided that manna because He wanted them to learn not to store up things that they need, but instead to look to Him each day. When some of them were tempted to try and store it up, the next day it was just maggoty. It had gone off. It was no good. Each day they needed to look to the Lord, to depend on Him. Jesus is teaching us here to pray each day and each day to look to Him for what we need, recognizing how dependent we are on Him. Let's just ask one important question here. Does that mean that we never give any thought to the future? You might think Jesus is teaching us so to live in the present that we don't ever think about saving or planning for the future and that kind of thing. Well, no, I think it is right to plan for the future. The scriptures call us to provide for those who depend on us. And it expects us to set aside money to support things that are needed for God's kingdom. And those things, they take planning and they take thought for tomorrow. And so some degree of planning is right and appropriate as we think about the responsibilities that we have and those we might provide for. But what we're being reminded of here is that we don't know what tomorrow brings. But there is no need to worry because God will provide as we seek Him first. All of these things, the things that we need, food and clothing, they will be provided for us. So a prayer for what we need today. Next, let's just think about those words, give us, at the start there. Saying to God, give us today the things that we need. And some people slightly bump on those words, and that sounds a bit demanding. You know, if a child came to a parent and said, give me, we might slow down a moment and say, let's think about how we ask that better. It's not a rude thing in the way that it's expressed here. It is simply putting that request to our Father in heaven. There's nothing blunt or commanding about this, and we know that God is not our genie whose wish is our command. But it is an acknowledgement that everything good comes from God, that if we don't look to Him, we won't have those daily things that we need. And it's an idea that you find everywhere in the Bible, that we look to Him, because He is the source of every good thing. So James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 asks, what do you have that you didn't receive? What do you have that you didn't receive? Nothing. Everything has come to you by way of gift. And when we understand that, when we get into our heads that we look to God for all that we need, that every good thing comes from our Father in heaven, we'll produce all kinds of good things in our lives. Humility to begin with. Because we don't take credit for what we have. We don't look around in our lives and think, God has provided everything. We don't look around at all the things that we have and think, I've done this. This is the work of my hands. It's that danger in Proverbs that was spoken of, that if God gives us too much, we might say that we just disown the Lord and ask, who is he? That we start to strut around and think we're the ones that are provided for ourselves. It's another warning that God gives to his people in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8. When God's people come into the land and they find that he provides them, a land that flows with milk and honey, a wonderful place. The danger is there. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. When we each and every day pray, give us today our daily bread, we remember that he is the one that everything good comes from, that humbles us. Teaches us to be thankful, doesn't it? If you do that Luther exercise and think, this loaf of bread, what has happened and what has been prevented from happening that gets it here, that teaches us thankfulness, to think of how God has provided each and every one of those things. Teaches us generosity. If everything that we have is a gift that's come down from our Father in heaven, well, then we're going to be generous with that, aren't we? We're going to want to pass on the good things that we've received. We're going to want to be generous towards others. We don't look around and think, my hard work has got me these things, and so if other people just worked hard like I did and just made good decisions like I have, then they would have these things. No, the great fruit of praying this prayer each day is a kind of generosity. To know that we live in a world where there's a God who has given us every good thing, that we might pass that on and bless others. And then confidence. Confidence for the things that we need. When we see how everything comes to us as a gift, when we realize that God is the great giver in the Bible, then we're going to come to him confidently. When we pray, give us today our daily bread, this isn't some kind of Oliver Twist moment. Please, sir, might I have one more bowl of gruel? Now, we are coming to a Father who loves to give good gifts to his children. Jesus will say it again just in the next chapter. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? We pray confidently to our Father in heaven. How do we grow in that confidence then? How can we more and more draw near to him and not think that it's down to us to try and provide for ourselves? But how do we keep our eyes on him? Well, one thing to do is to try and focus, I think, on all of the things that he has given to us and not be constantly reflecting on the things that we don't have. The world is constantly going to try and sell us things, isn't it? Advertising works on, you don't have this thing, and if you did, life would be so much better. The world teaches us to focus on the things that we don't have. We think about what might have been. If I had this, how much better life would be. There's a writer who's really helped me this week, G.K. Chesterton, and he speaks about how much better it is to ask the what might not have been question. Rather than thinking what might have been if I'd had this, ask instead, in my life, what might not have been? What do I have that actually I really didn't need to have? God didn't need to give me that, but I've been blessed by it. And he talks about reading Robinson Crusoe as a boy, reading about that man stranded on a treasure island. And then G.K. Chesterton imagines just looking around his room and thinking, if I was Robinson Crusoe and I had that chair, how grateful I would be. On a desert island to have that chair which I've taken completely for granted. But imagine if that was all that I had, how grateful I would be for it. He works around his room and gives thanks for each one of those things, thinking, that might not have been. God didn't need to give me that, but he's blessed me with that. And finding in that confidence to keep coming back to a God who has been so generous to us. So that might be a game to play over lunch today. At some point this afternoon, find something on the dinner table, around the room. Trace it back and think, what has God done to bring that to us? Or how grateful I would be if I had that and just that on a desert island. Lastly, let's just think about that little word, us, in this phrase. Give us today our daily bread. We've said it before, but this is a prayer that gathers us together, isn't it? We call on our Father, and here we are invited to call on him for our daily bread. Something else that sets this prayer apart from those wishes that we might make of a genie, because very often those are very selfish kind of wishes. Make me more rich than anybody else. Give me a bigger mansion than anybody else. And yet here is a prayer for God's people to use to ask that he might provide what we all need. Who is the us here? Give us today our daily bread. I think it is those who call on God as their Father. It is for Christians to look to God, to remember their dependence on him. And as we think about that prayer, not just for me and my needs, but for us and our needs as a church, as God's people, that helps us. It challenges us, I think. Don't know what you most struggle with as a doubt, as a Christian. I imagine in a room this size, there'll be all sorts of different things that cause us to doubt and wonder if it can be really true, the things that we read in the Bible. One of the biggest things that causes me to doubt is what we could call the problem of hungry Christians. Because in the Bible, God promises that he's going to provide, doesn't he? We've read some of those great promises, that he knows what we need, and we needn't worry, and he will feed us and clothe us. And yet there are Christians around the world who go hungry, who, as far as I can see, don't receive that promise. I find that unsettling. I struggle with that. If God is really there and promised to provide those things, how do we explain when he doesn't? Well, there are lots of answers to that, I think. One is just to acknowledge that God is a lot wiser than I am and knows a lot more than I do, and so knows what people really need and knows their circumstances better than I do. Sometimes the Lord is teaching them to depend on him for a time, sending not a time of plenty, but actually a time of need, so that they learn to be content in all circumstances. Some of us will know how God has worked in our own lives in that way. Sometimes it is because they have given up food and clothes for the sake of others. They've gladly given up those things. Sometimes it will be because they are not trusting in the Lord and are trying to provide for themselves. Sometimes it will be simply because they haven't asked. James says to some Christians very clearly, you do not have because you do not ask. But the thing that's really challenged me this week is that it might also be because I haven't asked. Because he invites us in this prayer to pray for all of God's people, that they would receive what they need. That this prayer calls us to give to each one our daily bread. That part of the way that God is going to bless his people is through the prayers of his people. So let me encourage us as we close, as we pray this prayer, not just to think about ourselves and our needs, but to give full weight to that us and that our. To commit to the Lord those who are in need, that they might find that he provides for them. So as we close, I want you to just read again a few verses that we've heard this morning, just with some pauses between them, a chance for us to reflect, a chance for us to remember again what it means that we call on God to give us today our daily bread. Then I'm going to lead us in a longer prayer, just reflecting on that line, and then we'll be saying the Lord's Prayer together. The words will come up on the screen. Let's hear some of those scriptures once more. In Proverbs, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights. Paul asks us, what do you have that you did not receive? And Jesus says to us, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Our Father in heaven, we praise you that we can call on you to provide for us our daily bread. Our Father, thank you for those reminders that you are the great giver, the source of every good thing in our lives. Father, would you humble us, we pray, where we are tempted to take credit for the things that we have, to treat them as ours. Father, would you please help us to keep our eyes fixed on you as the one who is the source of every good thing, and never to doubt your goodness, to see in all that we have, in all of the things that we might take for granted, tokens of your goodness and kindness towards us. Father, thank you that as we look around our lives, we see countless things where you have been at work, preserving, protecting, providing for us. Our Father, above all, we praise you for that great gift of your Son, and thank you for that confidence that having given him, will you not give us all good things? Our Father, we pray for your fatherly wisdom. We thank you for your fatherly wisdom. We thank you for the ways that you provide what we need. You know perfectly, much better than we do, what we need. We pray that, please, you would help us then to trust you in the circumstances we find ourselves in, to look to you each day for our daily bread, for the things that we need. Father, we pray that especially for those amongst us who feel that need most keenly. And Father, we pray for those wrestling with physical health, who wrestle with hunger, with the need for clothing, and for those for whom mental health is a daily struggle. Father, we pray for those who have other particular needs at the moment. We lift up to you again, Victor and Mwenya. We praise you for them. We thank you for the birth of Bukata this week. And we pray for them, please, in these early days of parenting, that you would grant them daily bread, the gifts of sleep, of health, of the energy that they need day by day. Father, would you help us as a church to look to you each day for these things, to know that we depend on you. Father, we ask that that would grant us that humility. We ask that it might fill us with thankfulness to acknowledge you as the giver of every good gift. We ask that it might make us generous towards one another and towards your people around the world in particular, recognizing that you have no limits of capacity, and that you can give generously to all in ways that will only be a blessing to others, that we can give to others knowing that you can restore what is given and that you will bless those who give. Father, would you help us to trust you in those ways and so to be generous towards others? So Lord, we ask, please, that you would keep our eyes on you. Keep us from trusting in ourselves. Keep us from trusting in other things. Help us, please, to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, knowing that all these things will be added to us as we do that. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And then join in with me with the words on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. As we close, we're going to stand and sing of our Father, of his faithfulness, of his provision. So as the music starts, if you're able, let's stand and sing.